to which problem are we coming to solve? Abaye asked the kasha to Rava. Romele Abaye to Rava, that's in the middle of Zayinam and Aleph. There seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim. And on the one hand, it says Meitav, and we have a big Zereshava, all the Choftal Ravs and Zikin, but most of them are Fagel, everybody pays Meitav. On the other hand, you have a Pasuk Yashiv, Kes of Yashiv Le Bolav Amesi Alo. Why does it say the verb Yashiv? Rashi says the Pasuk could have just as well read perfectly without the word Yashiv. So Yashiv is a ribui that even Subin is junk. It has to be Shava, whatever the Hezek is. I owe him $5,000, but I can give him junk that's worth $5,000. So that's not Beitav. So Rava's initial suggestion was, he has a simple teretz. Then the Gemara is not, Abai is not happy. Abai is not happy with that answer. He thinks that it's not correct. So Abai thinks of a different answer based on something that he heard from Rabbi. The Gemara is going to reject it. The Gemara is going to say it's not correct. And finally, the Gemara asked, Mikom Makom Kasha, two lines before the wide lines on Zayin Amud Beis. So what's the answer to Abai's Kasha after the whole pilpul? The first answer is not correct. The Bet Bal Korchmi died. The Abai's suggestion is not correct. Next, third suggestion is not correct. So what is the answer? Well, finally, the answer is Kol Mili Meitavu. Then is you have to give Meitav. It doesn't make sense to say you only have to give Meitav from Karka and Metaltalim. You don't have to give Meitav. Why should it make a difference? Karka and Metaltalim. The answer is Kol Mili Meitavu. Metaltalim is always Meitav. Why? Because the Eloi Mizdabin Hochem Mizdabin Mosachrit. Okay, that's the final answer. But till we get to the final answer, Abai had a suggestion. A fantastic suggestion based on something that he heard from Rabbah. And the Gemara is going to say it doesn't really make sense to apply over here. What Rabbah said is good, does make sense. So what did Rabbah comment on? So he says, Kidemar, something that he heard from Rabbah, his Rebbe, the Tanya. Let's go again. So Rashi says there are two interpretations. Rashi has the first pshat, goes on halfway down Zayin Amud Beis, then in the middle of Zayin Amud Beis, a long, long Rashi, then in the middle you have two dots, and you start a new paragraph, Lishnachrin, another pshat, and then he finally writes on the first part line, the Tfos Loshem Rishon, I think the first pshat is better. And Tosfos quotes that many Derif and other Rishonim like the second pshat. So let's first do one pshat at a time. So the first pshat is, based on a Mishnah, Rashi quotes from the end of Peah. So it's very underpaid. Who is defined as an oni who has the right to take leket shikre pei maisa oni? It's talking from the pushke. Who is defined as an oni? So one definition is mishein lo masayim zuz. Masayim zuz is normally the amount of money that you need to live on for a year. That's why we give masayim zuz for ksuba. The ikar ksuba is masayim zuz. We give much more. The Adam Tosef is ksuba in the dunya, but the ikar ksuba is masayim zuz. Masayim zuz is 50 shkolim, because every shekel has 4 zuzim. How much is that? So we said yesterday, it's 10 times pidyon haben. Pidyon haben is 5 shkolim. So 10 times 5 is 50. So pidyon haben is not so much. Pidyon haben is not so much. 96 grams of pure silver. So silver goes up, silver goes down. But even when it goes up, it's something like $100 maximum. The biggest chumri, you give $100 for pidyon haben today. So 100 times 10, not so much. That's the whole, that you can live on for a year. So today you can't live on that, so you have to have much more. Okay, so that's why we have Nidunya, we add Nidunya, we have Tosefes. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut, every 5-10 years, they give you an amount of money in Israeli dollars, not... Because the amount of money that appears in the Ksuba for the Tosefes in the Nedunya is in Austrian coins from the 1200s, from the 1300s, from the days of the Maharil. So in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Herzog, when he was the chief rabbi, changed it, and he put an amount of money in Israeli shkolim, and then the shkolim, everything, the value of the shkolim changed. Every 5-10 years, the Rabbanu changes it. They leave the Masayim Zuz, they leave that alone, because that's the 50 shkolim that says in Chumash, Kesel Yisko, Kemor HaBesulus. Einus and Mefat, they have to pay Kemor HaBesulus, the amount of money that you give for a ksuba. There are half of the Tanaim are of the opinion, and some of the Rishonim are of the opinion, Ksuba Deraisa, Rabbeinu Tam Paskins, Ksuba Deraisa. Most of the Rishonim, we don't Paskin like that, Rabbeinu Tam. Most of the Rishonim are like the other Tanaim, like Ksuba Lav Deraisa. But even Ksuba Lav Deraisa, but it is mentioned in the Chumash, that was the Minik, Bizman Matan Torah, that they used to give Mohar Habsulus, used to be the Ksuba of Masayim Zuz, of 50 Shkotim. So that we leave alone, that the Rabbeinu didn't change. According to some, that's the Raisa. That's really peanuts. There's not enough to live on for a year. And then the Aran, much more for the Tosefis and for the Nedunya. Tosefis is the Chosan out of the goodness of his heart adds on an additional amount. And the Nedunya means he assesses the value of all of the property that the girl, then Nedunya da Hanolos Lemibayavu. This is the value of all the property that she's bringing into the marriage. She has dresses, she has jewelry. Her father bought her an automobile, her father bought her an apartment in Yerushalayim. Whatever, parents bought her furniture, they bought her sheets and whatever, blankets, whatever they bought. So we assess the value, that's in the dunya, we assess the value of everything she's bringing into the marriage, and we exaggerate, we write way more than it's really worth. Today, the Tosefis with the Nedunya, with all works, is worth something like $100,000. So in Eretz Yisrael, they keep on updating. Okay, so it says here, that's the Masayim Zuz. Masayim Zuz is approximately what one would need to live on for a year. So if a person has just the Shabbos clothes that he wears and the Mikta clothes that he needs, and two pairs of shoes, one for Shabbos, one for the weekdays, and underwear, and whatever, and a talis and a tefillin, and an apartment to live in, and a bed, and that. So that doesn't count, Tosis says. Misha hoyol obatim, Tosis says, that doesn't count. It means if he has Masayim Zuz over and above the basic necessities that he needs in order to function. If he has real estate, I mean, not the house that he lives in, not the apartment, he has other real estate that's worth Masayim Zuz. He has houses and metaltalim, and he has a collection of whatever, of books, of stamps, or whatever. If it's worth Masayim Zuz, then he's an Osher, and he's not entitled to take its token. If he has Masayim Zuz Chosadina, if he has 199 Zuz, missing a little bit, then they can even give him Elab Zuz Bavasachas. That's the last line in Rashi on Zainam and Av. They can give him Malat Bavasachas. And if he has Masayim Zuz, so then he's not an Oni at all, he's not allowed to take it all. So here the Brisa has a strange din. Not the house that he lives in, not the farm that he makes a living on. The farm that he makes a living on, he's a farmer. And he sells vegetables, fruits and vegetables. So that he's not mechuyif to sell that in order to see if he has Masayim Zuz. Masayim Zuz is in addition to what he needs in order to live on. He has in addition to that, in addition to what he needs to live on. And the question is it worth Masayim Zuz? And right now he can't get Masayim Zuz for it. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Right now he's not able to get Masayim Zuz. The Gemara is going to discuss why not. Why is he unable to get Masayim Zuz? We'll soon see. So the din is, you're allowed to only give him up until 100 Zuz. So if what he has to sell is worth 100 Zuz, and we'll give him 100 Zuz, usually if he has one penny less than Masayim Zuz, you can give him Elav Shekel, Elav Zuz Bevasachas. But over here, because it's some kind of a strange case, that's what we have to figure out, what's unique about this case. So here we make a compromise. We only give him up until 100 Zuz, and we don't give him Elav Zuz Chosadina. We don't give him Elav Zuz Bevasachas. We don't do that. Machil Mosa Maserani, you give him Elek Shikhepe Maserani, Ad Machza up until Meo Zuz. Vahavi Bomar, Sabai says that my Rebbe, Rabbe, yes, Takasha, Echidami, what's the case that the Brisa is talking about? Ihu Zalaris de Kuli Alma, Vididei Namdi Zal, the fall of real estate went down. And the value of his real estate went down also. So his real estate is not worth the additional real estate that he has. Not the house that he lives in, like Tosfos says. Additional real estate. And now it's just not worth Masayim Zuz. So then he's an Oni. So why are you restricted? Why can't you only give him up until 100 Zuz? Who's Alaris of the Kuli Alma? Arisa means the Karka. Ara. Ara is Karka. if everybody's real estate went down, he's all about that, and his real estate also went down with it because he has batim sodas of krum. That's real estate. Why can't you give him more than 100 zoos? He can even give him elab zoos bevasach. Give him more than mayo zoos. Everybody's real estate went down, so his real estate is not worth masayim zuz. Ella must be the case to oiker aris udikuliyam. Everybody's real estate is high, yoker, it's expensive. Only the day his real estate should have also been worth masayim zuz, but the people are not going to give masayim zuz. I did the avin ofik azuzi because people see that he's pressed for money now. He wants to make some kind of investment. He wants to make some kind of new business. He wants to sell this extra bottom soda sacrament that he has that he doesn't live in. So because the people see that he's pressed for money, zolare, that's why the value, only the value of his property went down. Everybody else's property is higher. So the Gemara asked, this is Rashi's reading, in truth, his karka really is worth masayim zuz. It's only people are not going to give it to him because they see he's pressed for money. So he's nervous. So they know he's gonna compromise. If they're going to bargain, they're going to handle with him so they'll be able to handle him down. And they won't give masayim zuz. But in truth, his karka is worth masayim zuz. That's what Rashi says. So you shouldn't give him anything. Why do you give him up until 100 zuz? I feel put the nami lo lesvul. You shouldn't give him anything. Rashi says, Shavei Shabbos karkos masayim zuz. The truth is the karka is worth masayim zuz. So we don't understand pshat in the braisa. Tais is going to have a different pshat. Everything different in Tais. Tais is learning like the riff. We'll see the second pshat in Rashi. The Omamar, so Rabbi came to explain pshat in the braisa. The Omamar, alo. And Rabbi made a comment in connection with the Allah, in connection with this Braisa, Loitzricha. The case of the Braisa is not that all the real estate went down and not that his went down because they see that he's pressed for money. No, the market fluctuates. Different seasons of the year, like the market for fur coats fluctuates, the market for summer clothing fluctuates, and the summer costs more, the winter costs less. The real estate also is seasonal. If you sell fields, you sell houses in Nissan, it's more valuable. And therefore, the kuliyama natria Nissan and mizapne. Everybody waits till Nissan to sell, because that's when you'll get more money for your karka. They're high, but this poor fellow, he has some kind of a special deal in Tishrei. He needs money now. He's hard pressed for money. So therefore, Zovin Kirahashto. So he has to sell in Tishrei in order to get as much money as he can for whatever investment he wants to make. So, Ad Palgo Urche LeMezal. It's normal that in Tishrei the real estate value goes down up until half the amount. Ad Palgo up until half the amount Urche LeMezal. Tfeilav Urche LeMezal. So therefore, what? So if the real estate, his real estate is worth masayim zuz. Not much more. Masayim zuz or a little bit more. But because it's Tishrei, so he's not going to get the masayim zuz. He's going to get less. So on the one hand, you say it has the value of Nisan. Now it's Tishrei. Today is Tishrei. But on the one hand, we know that when Nisan is going to come, it's going to be worth masayim zuz. On the one hand, maybe you can say he's an usher and he shouldn't be entitled to take anything. On the other hand, today's Tishrei. So on Tishrei, the market is lower, so he doesn't have masayim zuz. So because we consider it as if it's like a tarta disaster, he has the value of Nisan that's going to be in the value of Tishrei is right now. With respect to Odama Mazik, if I'm Mazik, your property, so it depends when I'm Mazik it. That's based on the Mishnah in Erechin that we said. Ein lahegdish. And the Ramban Kiddushin, in the first parak of Kiddushin, applies that Mishnah to Kiddushin and to any time that you're assessing the value of something. A man is Mekadosh and Isha today. And he gives her some kind of a trinket. So the thing is seasonal. So in the summertime it costs more, in the wintertime it costs less. So he's Mekadosh and Isha today. So today it doesn't have a Shavuot Puta, Shezeinim Mekudesh. So if it'll be Shavuot Puta later, if it'll be Mekadosh on the day that it is Shavuot Puta, fine. or in New York it's not Shavuot Pruta. In Wyoming it is Shavuot Pruta, or in Thailand it is Shavuot Pruta. But in New York it's not Shavuot Pruta. So that's the klal in the Mishnah, Ein Lehegdash Elam Kama Meshaito. When the Gizbar is auctioning off the Hegdash to the highest bidder, he should insist he wants the value of the thing, how much it's worth today. If someone is mazik, someone else. So you have to pay. How much do you have to pay? How much it's worth today? So it may turn out to be a higher amount, may turn out to be a lower amount. Doesn't matter when he pays it. Doesn't matter whether he pays the money now, he pays the money later. It's established how much he has to pay today. So here, that with respect to Odom HaMazik, and with respect to Pidyon Hegdish, with respect to Kiddushin, so it depends, Bosam Kamu Shav Limka, Bosam Mokam, Bosam Zman. But Rabbi says over here, we're assessing on the person, is he an Osher? He didn't do anything. He wasn't Mekadosh and Isha, and he wasn't an Odom HaMazik, and it's not being paid the Hegdish. Just assessing the individual, is he an Osher, is he an Ani? So we keep in mind the both values. One could ding zach with Rabbi. Why should you? You should say today. Today is Tishrei. Today is not worth. So Rabbi says no. He's not doing anything today. We're just assessing: is he an ani? Is he an usher? So you keep in mind both of the values: the value that the field will have, for the house will have in Tishrei, the value that it has in Nisan. So it's a tarta desasri. According to one value system, according to Tishrei, it's worth less than Masayim Zuz. According to Nisan, it's worth more than Masayim Zuz. So because it's sort of a tarta desasri, so whenever you have a tarta desasri, we mentioned yesterday, the Ritva in Yuma, the Ritva says, whenever you have a tarta desasri, treat it like a sofik. He learns that that's pshat ben ashmashis. The sofik yam, sofik laila. It's not that it's a sofik when Monday ends and when Tuesday begins. Is it a shkia, 2 minutes after shkia, 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later? No. There's a block of time that's both Yom and Lilo, has properties of Yom and properties of Lilo, and we treat it as a suffix because it's a type of assessment. So that's what Rabbi seems to be understanding over here. We're judging on the person, is he an usher, is he an ani? He's not doing anything today. He wants to apply, he wants to take some lekat shikhepe maiserani, or money from the tzedakah fund. So we have to assess him, is he an usher, is he an ani? So he possesses property over and above the property that he needs to live in. Like Tosis explains, he has houses that he uses for investment, for business purposes. So the Batim, Sotos HaKramim, have two values. The value of Nisan is above Masayim Zuz, and today is Tishrei. And the value of Tishrei is below Masayim Zuz. So it's a Tate des Asrei, so we treat it like a Sofik. So if you consider him an Ani, because today is Tishrei, if you consider him an ani because today it's not worth Masayim Zuz, then he should be allowed to take Elif Zuz Bavasachas. If you consider him an ani, if you consider him an usher, he can't take a penny, he can't take anything. So we say sort of like Maman Amuta Basofik Holkim. Usually when you have Maman Amuta Basofik, it's a Hamotz Machaveh Elof Haraya, if somebody is Muchsuk. Who is Muchsuk over here? Stoker. Stoker is called Muchsuk. We said the other day, the Gemara Mem Vav on the base lines off him a pasuk. Ibal Dvar Miko Shalem Yagish Vayalem. The principle of Amitz Mechaber Olav Haray. Then the Gemara Mem Vav has to kash Maskev Ravashi Lamali Cross Svaruhu. The Gemara said that's a svara. You don't need a pasuk for that. Gemara says, no, the pasuk goes on something else. So the Pnei Yeshua and Gittin writes that that's only initial reaction that the Ravashi has Lamali Cross Svaruhu. Truth of the matter is, once you get into the nitty-gritty details of Amatz Mechal Avarai, it must be that it's Exeris HaKos. So we said the Shita Mukubetzis in the end of the first Perik in Ksubis points that out from the Gemara. And Holcha Mimam and Achar Haroiv only applies if the Muchsuk is a Yisroel. If the Muchsuk is an Achar, you can't be Maitzi Mamet based on a Roiv. So you see, it's not a Svar. If it's a Svar, it applies to non-Jews equally as it applies to Jews. Whatever's a Svar is a Svar. It must be that it's Exeris HaKos. So the Torah says the Jewish people have a status of muchzakus on the property, on the moment that tachas yodam, and hametz and chaver olav haraya need a raya limta, ha raya with a hay hayidia, and the raiv is not sufficient. Raiv is good in isa v'heter. The Gemara says, Baroiv is not good in... that's the Gemara, the beginning of HaMecheres HaPara. First daf in HaMecheres HaPara. The Roiv is good in Yisveheter, the Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel. But the Hochem Imam and Achar HaRoiv are not. Oh, that's a Memvav, yeah. That's that daf. That's a Memvav on the base. So Shmuel says... Ki azlina basarube isura and isa veta avoba mamina le azlina basarube elamot machaber olaf harai. So that's not a svara. Rab disagrees with this svara. Shmuel is so convinced of this svara that it's a svara. It's not a svara. It's a xeris hakosav you learn from the pasuk. So that xeris hakosav doesn't apply to bnei noach. By a nochri, the shidim kubetzah shows from the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Ksubas, that you can't be motzi mamin from a nochri based on a raib. You don't have this special din. So the special din only applies when it's a din tor ben adam lachaver. If you're muchzak on the mamon, let's say you found an aveda, you know for sure it doesn't belong to you, so you're not called a muchzak. Muchzak means I'm holding on to it. It's tachas yodi, it's bershusi, and I have a claim. Be that tainus bari or tainus shem, I have a claim that it's mine. Moitzi aveda says 100% it's not his. He doesn't know who it belongs to, but it's not his. So hashavas aveda, you will be obligated to. Fulfill our Shabbos Aveda based on a roiv. That's Gemara's in the first parak in Bav Metzia. If there's a roiv that Shimon dropped the Aveda, you got to give it to Shimon. You don't say, I'm Oitzim Aha, Ein Holchim Imam Meracha Harav. And Holchim Imam Meracha Harav is only, Shalol Lehotzi Mamin Miyad HaMukhzok Al Pi Roiv. But here, the Moitzi Aveda is not a Mukhzok. He says 100% it's not his. Here also, we're talking about Leket Shikha Pei Maser Onid Stoke in the Pushkin. We're talking about Mamin Tzedakah. So the tzedakah is muchzak on the money. Tzedakah is not a person. Tzedakah is a corporation. What we call in Hebrew and technically chal hashem bailam. It's not a bailam, a human being. It's a chal hashem bailam, a corporation. Halacha recognizes such a thing. Chal hashem bailam. So it's not a Jew that you should say, I'm moitzi machol arai. It's not a nochri either. It's not a Jew, it's not a nochri. But v'roiv would be good to be moitzi mamon. So that's what the Gemara says. In such a case, we say yachloku. So you have a suffix over here. He's not doing anything. If he'll be Adam Mazik in Tishrei, so you say kamu shavlim kavashuk today. If the gizbe is auctioning it off to the highest bidder, he has to take the shavius of the chayfets and like the shalom mekom of a shaito. The shavit minimum shavis is how much it sells for in this city. Or if you're mazik it, so how much would it sell for today in this city? But here we're talking, is he a nani, is he a nashi? He's not doing anything today. Is the person a nani? So we consider both values. You mean this, and even though today's Tishrei, we're holding in the middle of Tishrei, well, we consider the both values, and we say it's like a taita de sasri. On the one hand, is a nani, on the other hand, is an ashir, because of the taita de sasri. So we say yachloiku. So what's yachloiku? If he would have been an ani, he would have been he would have been allowed to take el mezuzah b'vasachas. If he's considered an usher, can't even take a penny. So we split it in half and we say, the karka that he has is worth 100 masayim zuz as an usher. The karka is worth 100 zuz, 150 zuz, 175 zuz. It's worth a certain amount now. In Yomei Nissan, it'll be worth more than masayim zuz. Right now, it's not worth Masayim Zuz. Whatever it's worth now, so it's a Sveik of the Dina, what he has a right to take. And no one is really a Mukhsuk. You don't say that the Momin Aniyim is Mukhsuk. And Hamotzi Mechavel of Rai need a Rai Alimta to give him the penny. So we say Yachloku. So we say we give him a little bit from the Momin's doctor to make it until we make him into an Ashir. We don't treat him like a Vadai Oni that he's allowed to take Elav Zuz Bevasachas. We only treat him like a Sofik Ani, Sofik Ashir. So we give him ad machza. You give him, he owns the karka, which is worth 100, 150 zuz, 175, 180 zuz. It would have been this, and it would have been worth way more than Masayim zuz. But because it's Tishrei, it's worth less. So you give him a little bit from the tzedakah until you make him into an Ashir, he's not allowed to take more. That's the compromise that you do. So that's the Gevaldi Gevart that Rabbi said. Okay? Abai liked his Rebbe's work. So he says, so ad palga urcha lemezal, normally, kifi minigo elam, the prices of the karka goes down a little bit in Tishrei. It doesn't go down past 50%. Tvei lavuchan never goes down past 50%. So when the price says machila moisa maiserani ad machza, you give him up until 100 zuz. You won't have to give him more than a 100 zuz. If his karka is worth 150, so you give him 50 zuz, just to be mashlim the masayim zuz, and now you just made him an osher. If the karka is worth 175 zuz, so you give him 25 zuz. Karka is worth 102 zuz, so you give him 98 zuz. Okay, and you mashlim shine ad machza. Why is ad machza? Why is the limit? Because it never goes down so low. That's how Rabbi explains. And then he's going to make a... He's going to relate this... Abai's going to relate this word of Rabbi to the case of Nezikin.
So we're just giving him enough money to remove his subbing status?
Yeah. It's like a yachleiku. Usually we wouldn't say Mamana Buddha Basafik Cholkin. Sumchas holds, that's a memvav. Sumchas holds in one case, Mamma Namutta Basafik Cholkim. The Chachamim disagree with Sumchas, and we don't paskan like Sumchas, we paskan like the Chachamim. We paskan that Muchsag wins. Very rare that you say Mamma Namutta Basafik Cholkim, namely in a case when nobody's the Muchsag. So this case over here is like a case, no one is Muchsag, because the Aniyim, it's not that all the Aniyim in the world are Shutfim over here, and all the Aniyim are Jewish. No, it's the Chalashem. It's a Chalashem Bailam. It's not a person. It's a corporation. The Halacha recognizes. In recent years, the last 150 years, there was a big machlekes, but the Halacha recognizes corporations are not. Let's say you buy forks and knives from a non-Jewish store. But this store is probably incorporated. Everybody's incorporated now. Hardly anybody owns any business. They don't want to be sued. If it's a corporation, then you can only sue. There's only Shib and the Chosim to the extent that the corporation has assets. You can't sue the owner of the store. He doesn't have personal liability. Limited liability. In England, they call it limited. In America, they call it corporation. Limited means limited liability. So it's only Shib and the Chosim. There's no Shib and Aguf on the person. So the Gedolim had a machlokes in the last 150 years. Does not look. The halacha does recognize such a thing as a chal Hashem Bailam, as a corporation, by tzedakah and by hegdash. It's a chal Hashem Bailam. It's not a person. It's not a human being who owns it. So the halacha does recognize, but the question is, does the halacha recognize this international deed in the Malchusa that all the nations, all the countries of the world recognize that the corporation, the property of the corporation, is owned by the dummy corporation. It's owned by the chal Hashem Bailam. So the shaila is, if you buy kalei suda, if you buy forks and knives and pots and pans from a nochri, you have to do tefilas kelim. What if the forks and knives and pots and pans are manufactured by a non-Jewish company in Japan that's incorporated, and then it's sold to a middleman who's incorporated, then it's sold in New York, it's sold in the store which is incorporated. So it never belonged to a goy, it belonged to a corporation. So does the halacha recognize this chal Hashem Bailam? Oh no, the halacha does recognize that it's limited liability. That's right. Moshe explains that's a double push. But Moshe Feinstein holds the halacha does not recognize corporations. He says the halacha recognizes that there's only Shib and Nechasim, there's no Shib and Aguf. Let's say I borrow $1 million from you. And instead of me borrowing Herschel Schechter, Schechter Incorporated borrows it. So if my corporation borrows it, so that means I said in advance, I'm not accepting a Shib and Aguf. Only accepting a Shib and Nechasim. You can only collect $1 million that I borrowed from the Shechter Corporation. You can't collect from me. Okay? So anybody can do that even before they invented corporations. You can say in advance, I'm borrowing money, but I'm not accepting a Shib and Haguf. I'm only accepting a Shib and Nechasim. Some argued incorrectly that you can never have Shib and Nechasim without Shib and Haguf. Because the Gemara has an expression. What is Shib Nechasim? May as well give the introduction. It's going to begin on the next daf, on daf Ches Amar Al. We're going to go for a whole daf Gemara. What is Shib Nechasim all about? What Shib Raguf and Shib Nechasim? The Gemara never uses these lashonis. This Rabbeinu Tam invented this expression. The Rabbeinu Tam shows that the concepts existed in the Gemara, but the expression was coined, the term was coined by the Rabbeinu Tam. Shib Raguf means I borrowed money, I'm going to have to pay back the money. Shib Nechasim means Even if I die, you can collect from the Yorshim. They never borrowed the money. They're not mechuyev. They're not personally mechuyev to pay. Well, let's say I borrowed money. At the time that I borrowed money, I had a lot of karkos. And then I sold all of the karkos to lekuchas, and they gave me millions of dollars. Then I gambled away all the money. Now I'm penniless. I have no money to pay back. So you come to me, you say, I lent you $1 million. Pay me back. I have no money to pay you back. So you want to go to the lekuchas to collect. So there's such a concept as Shivan Chasm. So you have a right to collect. We'll have to learn all the details. It has to be Milvah Bishtar, Milvah Mapeh. You don't collect from the Lekuchas, Milvah Bishtar. You do collect from the Lekuchas. That's what Tosis quotes from the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra. That if it's Milvah Bishtar, you can collect from the Lekuchas, and Milvah Mapeh, you cannot collect from the Lekuchas. But even Milvah Mapeh can't collect from the Yisayim. That's how we Machlekes and the Gemara, that's how we pass them. So collecting from the Yisayim or from the Lekuchas is not based on Shibir Aguf. The Lekuchas never borrowed the money. And Yisayim never borrowed the money. It's based on Shibin Achasim. There's a lien on the property that they got Beirusha. There's a lien on the property that he bought from the Lakech. And a lien on the property is what we call a Kinya Lachatzoyim. That's what the Nesivis writes in Choshem Mishpat. Shibin Achasim is a Kinya Lachatzoyim. The Karka belongs to the Malva with respect to the right to collect it. It belongs to the Malva. And that the Nesivis didn't have it, but we have it in the Ritva. And Kiddushin Daf Yigimel writes like that also. The same expression, that Shib and Nechosim, the lien on the property, not just the schus that the Malva has to take away from the Lekuches, is considered as a kinyan lachatzoin. As if when the Malva lent me $1 million, all the Maikarkos are kinuyim to the Malva with respect to Gviya Sarchov. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a din. Ein Ephraim and Chasim Shabbatim. Here the Gemara quotes it on the next daf, I think. Ein Ephraim and Chasim Shabbatim and Makam Sheyesh Bnei Chorin. Where is that? Here it is. On Chesam Abbas, 5 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Gittin. Ibnei Tikkun Oilam. Ein Ephraim and Chasim Shabbatim Makam Sheyesh Bnei Chorin. It's like this. I lent $1 million to the Loiva, and the Loiva had a lot of real estate, and he sells all the karkos. Then I come to collect. So rather than go to the loiv, I want to go to the lekuchas. Because they bought the karka that has the shibin chosman. So the lekuchas say, that's not fair. What are you coming to collect from us? The loiv is still alive and kicking. He has a lot of assets. Go to the loiv. Let him pay you. If you go to the loiv, he's broke, he's bankrupt, he doesn't have the money to pay, then you have a right to collect from the chosman shibadim. That's the Mishnah. In the Ephraim, you're not allowed to collect from the chosman shibadim from the lekuchas. If the loiv is still alive and he has assets, so go to the loiv to collect. So the Gemara, I think, in the end of Baba Basra, explains this din. Why is there such a din? Because to collect from the chosim, to collect based on shim nechosim, is like a din of arev. An arev is a cosigner. When a yeshiva bacha goes to the bank and wants to borrow $1 million, they're not going to lend you $1 million. You don't have a steady job. How are they ever going to get the money back? See, if you're learning in the Kollel Elyon and they're paying you a hot top salary, okay, so they'll lend you $1 million. You have 5 years, you'll be getting paid a fortune of money. They know they're going to get paid back all the money. But if you're playing Yeshiva Bach and not learning in the Kollel Elyon, so they're afraid you're not going to have the money to pay back. So they're going to ask you, you want to borrow the money, we want a cosigner. The cosigner means an orev. Cosigner, not another yeshiva bacha. They don't trust him either. Cosigner means your father who owns a house, or your father-in-law who owns property, or a rich person, a friend of the family. And they know if you're not going to pay, this guy says he'll make good and he will pay. That's an orif. So the Gemara has a lashon. Why is Ainif Raim and Achosim Shabbatim and Makam Shayj Menachar? How come you have no right to collect from the Lukuches? Because Mandalayv still has assets. Because as it didn't ain't goyve min ha'arev tchila. If I lent you $1 million and someone else is the co-signer, and then it comes time to pay, so I can't go to the co-signer first. First I have to go to the loiva to see if he can pay. In the event that the loiva cannot pay, then you go to the arev. So ain't goyve min ha'arev tchila. So the Gemara says, nechsoy de barinish, the karka that the person has, inun arvenlei. The nechosin, the karka that he has, is like an arev. If he won't be able to pay, then you have a right to collect from the Yisayim, from the Lekuches. You go, Yisamim means that he's not alive. But Lukuch is, the loiva is still alive. So if the loiva is broke, he doesn't have any money to pay the chayiv, then the malva has the right to go to the Lukuchas, because the karka is Meshubatim, the Sheib and the Chasim. Meshib and the Chasim, Nichsoy the Barinish, the Nechasim that are Meshubat, that the loiva is Meshabat to the malva. Even an Arvanite, it's like an Orif. Saying government Orif Tchila. So there's a Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Pehei, where the Gemara says, let's say Reuven lends $1 million to Shimon for 5 years. And Reuven needs some money now. 3 years go by, Reuven needs some money. So he has a shtachayv that says that Shimon is going to pay him back $1 million in five. Another 3 years went by. Another 2 years he's going to get, but he needs cash today. So he wants to sell the shtachayv to somebody else. The other guy's probably not going to pay me he's not going to pay me $1 million. He's going to have to wait 2 years till he gets the $1 million. So he'll pay me 10% less, 20% less, whatever. He'll pay me less. They do it all the time. In America, they do it all the time. All the Israeli bonds, they do it like that. When you buy Israeli bonds, the Israeli government sells the bonds to Chase Manhattan. And they pay them less. Chase Manhattan doesn't pay the full amount that we would be able to collect if we would wait 5-10 years. They pay them less. So if you want to be a big tzaddik and you don't want to take away the money from the Medina, and you want to let them keep the bond, you don't want to collect the Israeli bonds, you're really making a donation to Chase Manhattan. You're not donating anything to the Medina, because Medina sold all of your bonds a long time ago. And when they sell the bonds to Chase Manhattan, so it's discounted, so they're not going to pay the full amount that the Medina would have paid after the 5-10 years are up. So the Gemara has such an institution, a mechash tachav lachaver. So let's say I lent you $1 million, and then for 5 years, and 3 years go by, now I need some money. I'm in need of money. So I sell the shtachayv, hamecha shtachayv l'chaveiroi. I sell the shtachayv to another person, and he's going to discount it. He's not going to pay me the full $1 million, because he has to wait another 2 years till he collects it. So then the Gemara has it then, hamecha shtachayv l'chaveiroi. And then I turn around, after I sell you the chayv, discounted chayv, to the tune of $1 million, then I turn around and I'm mechel the chayv to the loiva. I say, I forgot the chayv, you have to pay. So the Gemara says, I'm mechel shtachav l'chaveiroi, v'chazo machloi, machol. I have the ability to be mechel. So all the Rishonim ask, how can he be mechel the chayv? He just sold the chayv to the other person. I'm not the balabas on the chayv anymore. The lakech, the one who bought the shtachav from the malveh, is not the balachayv. So how does the malveh have the ability to be mechel the chayv? So that's what the Ktzos HaChoshen has a famous essay. Din Zeh Nemar B'Nishna Gimel Shitas. He says there are three Shitas in the Rishonim to explain it. So the Rabbi Natam is in Rabbi Natam. That Rabbi Natam doesn't appear in Tosis anywhere. Tosis never quotes it. The Ran quotes it. The Rosh quotes it. It's in the Sefer Yosher Rabbi Natam. We don't buy in the printed Tosis on the Daf. Somehow the printer left it out. Well, Gutenberg, who printed the Shas for the first time, Gutenberg printed the Shas. Sansina printed before Gutenberg. So whenever, when they printed the Shas, so they had to fit the Tosis on the page. So sometimes Tosis just didn't fit on the page. So sometimes they abridged it, and sometimes they just threw it out. So sometimes we're lucky and the Tosis appears in a different Masechta on the same topic, and sometimes we're not lucky and the Tosis just is missing. But we're lucky because the Rashba quotes it, and the Ran quotes it, and the Rosh quotes it, the other Rishon quote. So this Rabbi Natam was an unlucky, first such a famous Rabbi Natam. This was an unlucky Tosis. This doesn't appear anywhere in Tosis, but all the Rishonim quoted the name of the Rabbi Natam. So Rabbi Natam, Hayiraga Leimer, there's shnei shibudim heim. There's a shibud aguf and a shibud nechasim. So he says, when I lend you $1 million, so there's a shibud aguf, is a relationship between the mal and the loiva. Then there's a shibud nechasim. The karka of the loiva is connected to the malva kinya lachatzoyin, with respect to gvia sachayv. So when the malva sells the shtachayv to a third party, a mecha shtachayv l'chaveiroi, what is he selling? He's selling the karka. The karka of the loiva belongs to the malva with respect to gviya. So he sold the right, he can sell an object. If you own karka, you own metaltalim, you can sell it. The shibir agusav is a relationship between the malva and the loiva. That doesn't lend itself to selling. So the shibir aguf is still eitzel hamalva. Even after the malva sells the shtachayv to the lokeach, he only succeeds in selling the shibir nechasim. So then, that's why the malva can still be meichel to the loiva. So the malva is meichel, so there's no more shibir aguf. And then the rabbin and Tom adds on, once there's no shibir aguf, you can't have shibir nechasim. Shibir nechasim is only to back up the shibir aguf. That's like an orit, nechsoy de barinish, in an arvenlay. The karka of the loiva is like an orit. In the event that the loiva doesn't pay, then you can collect from the karkois that he left Beirusha or the karkois that he sold to the lukuchas. But once the malva is meichel to the loiva, so he was meichel to shibir aguf, not shibir aguf, because that he never sold to the lekech. He can only sell to the lekech the shibir nechasim. He can sell a bien of karka on the tatman. So he sold the karka. Because shibin lechasim means a kinyan lechatzoyim. That's connected to the malva with respect to gviyah. So even though there's a shibin lechasim here, but once the malva is meichel to shibir aguf, and that he never was able to sell, that's a relationship, that's a father and a son. So I'll sell my fatherhood to someone else. The other guy, you can't sell your fatherhood. That's a relationship. A husband and a wife. So the wife is going to sell her husband. And the husband is going to sell his wife. You can't sell a relationship. You don't own. The husband doesn't own the wife. The wife doesn't own the husband. You can only sell property that you own. You own karka, you own metaltlin. So the shibir aguf doesn't lend itself. That's what Rabbeinu Tam claimed. Shibir aguf doesn't lend itself to mechira. It's a relationship. So therefore, the malva can still be meichel. And once the malva is meichel, the shibir aguf. So the meila there's no shibir nechasim, because the shibir nechasim is only nechsoy devarin shirin arvinle. It's an orif to pay the shibir aguf. Once there's no shibir aguf, no shibir nechasim. So there were those who thought that what Rav Moshe said is impossible. Rav Moshe says, we don't recognize the concept of corporation. If a corporation borrows money, so it's self-understood. There's only limited liability, only shibin l'chasim, no shibin aguf. Okay, but we don't accept the concept. We don't accept the concept that all the nations of the world understand, that the property is owned by the dummy corporation. We say, no, the property is owned by me, but there's no shibir aguf. I borrowed the money, and the understanding was that there's no shibir aguf, it's only going to be shibir nechosim. So Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe quotes an avdim miluim. That's not what the Rabbeinu Tam never said, that you can't have shibir nechosim unless you have shibir aguf. Rabbeinu Tam said, if I'm mechel the shibir aguf, Mechila is kihiz kabalta. Mechila means he has satisfied the shibir aguf. The shibir aguf is taken care of. So once the shibir aguf is taken care of, then of course no shibir nechasim. Shibir nechasim is to pay up the debt. But once the malva is moichel the shibir aguf to the loiva, the mechila is considered kihiz kabalta as if it's piroin. Mechila is like a piroin, it's taken care of already. So then there's no shibir nechasim. But if you start melechatchila from the very outset and you say, I have a corporation, so the halacha doesn't recognize the corporation, but it recognizes the results of the corporation. So when the corporation borrows money, it means I'm borrowing money. It means limited liabilities. Only shibir nechasim, I'm not accepting shibir aguf. That you can have. You can make any agreement you want in advance. The agreement was you're lending money to me without me accepting shibir aguf, only accepting shibir nechasim. Which nechasim? Nechasim that are written under the ownership of the corporation, not my private home. That's also my nechasim. But I'm not, when I'm borrowing money, I'm only mishabed and chosim that belong to the corporation. So Moshe's opinion is that we don't accept this deen in the machusa. And others hold that you do. It's very relevant for ribbis. Let's say you have a Jewish bank and you borrow money by ribbis from the bank. Or you put money in the savings account. There's a Jewish bank and you put money in a savings account. So you put money in the savings account means that you're lending them money. And they're paying you ribbis. And the Jewish corporation is paying you ribbis. So that's a shaila. If the halacha recognizes the corporation, the dummy corporation, so it's not a Jewish person. So you're taking ribbis from like ribbis from a nochri is mutter. So ribbis from a bank is also mutter. The money's coming from a corporation. And if the halacha recognizes the corporation, it means you wouldn't need tefillos kelim, because these kelim never belong to a non-Jew. Nafka mina for several different things. The two famous nafka minas are the ribbis and the tefillos kelim. That's why a lot of people never say a brocha on tefillos kelim. Because all the kelim that you buy, even if it comes from a non-Jewish company, all the companies are all incorporated. That's a big machlokes, whether we recognize the corporation.
Amen.
Bal Yeroi, yeah, that's a major nafkamina. With the Pianisha Bal Yeroi, correct?
Just a question on something we said earlier. Why are you protecting the Lukukos like protecting the Ariv? And Ariv, I understand why it needs protection, because you need someone to sign on, and if they're going to feel like they're going to be collected first unjustly, no one's going to help with loans. But the Lukukos, why should it be protected over any Govimina Ariv?
That's what they made a takana in the Mishnah. That's what it says. Any frayim and achasim shabbatim. That's on chesam base. They quoted that Mishnah from Gittin. That's in the middle of Perakan Izokin. The Mishnah has a series of takanas from the rabbanim pnei tikan ha'elam. Then the Tosefta has many more. Tosefta has many more takanas. So that's one of the many takanas. Any frayim and achasim shabbatim and makam sheyesh b'nei charim. That if you're going to ruin the whole real estate industry, if you can collect from the lekuchas without first go, people who buy real estate always make a search in advance to see if there's any lien on the property. If they realize there's a lien on the property, so they may not want to buy it. So let's say they say that they see there is a lien on the property is worth $1 million. There's a lien for $5 million. But when they bought the $1 million property, the guy he's still a multimillionaire, still has other properties. So then they're not going to be worried about buying this karka. They'll buy the karka, and the balachevis will go to the loiva to collect. But if you'll allow the balachevis to go first to the lukuchas, so the Gemara says you'll ruin the whole real estate industry. People won't be able to buy real estate if you can always take away the karka. So they always want to secure themselves, so whenever they buy karka, they leave, if they find out that there's a lien on the property to an amount of money, they'll check to make sure that the one is selling and then the karka still has enough karka to pay all the debts.
Not the same reason as Ariv, just to kind of for a different reason.
Right, right, to protect the real estate industry. Yeah. So that's what Moshe writes in his Sefer. You can have a Sheba Nechosim without a Sheba Ravu. That's the way it made up in advance. But if initially there was both the Sheba Raguv and a Sheba Nechosim, and the Malva was Mechash Tachar B'Lachaveiroi, that's in Ksuvah Tav Peyei, Mechash Tachar B'Lachaveiroi, V'chazu Amachloi, Machul, why can the Malva still be Machul D'Loi? The answer is, the Rabbi Natam's answer, the Bishonim gave a different explanation. Rabbi Natam gives an answer, he says, because the Sheba Raguv is non-transferable. Sheba Raguv is a relationship, so that you can't sell. The only thing you're able to sell is the Sheba Nechosim. Shimlchasa means the karka is koni to the malva with respect to gvi. It's a kinya lachatzayin. It's not that the karka of the loiva belongs to the malva. He can move in. He can't move in. It still belongs to the loiva. There is such a thing, kinya lachatzayin. Let's say I have a tree and I want to sell you the apples that'll grow starting next Rosh Hashanah. Tavshin Pei. Next year is Tavshin Pei. Ayin Pei. Tavshin Pei. So I sell you the apples. I don't even have a calendar that goes so far. The apples that are going to grow after Tishrei. That's a Dovish Lo Bali Olam. So you can't sell. You can't make a me paskin. You can't make a kinyan on Dovish Lo Bali Olam. So I won't sell you the apples. I sell you the tree with respect to the schus of Aroy Ashbach. With dekel le peiroisav. You can't sell peiris dekel. That's Lo Bali Olam. But the dekel is Bali Olam. So you can sell a dekel with respect to the peiris dekel that are Lo Bali Olam. That's legitimate. So here also, when the loiva borrows $1 million from the malva, so he's selling the karka, all the karka that he owns, selling the karka to the malva, but not selling it 100%. Selling it with respect to, like Dekel Paris, he's selling the karka to the malva with respect to gviya. In the event that the loiva will not pay up the debt, so the malva can claim the karka belongs to me. That's what there's even a machlokes habayi v'rove, misochim daf lamed. When the malva comes and he forecloses and he takes away the karka, he say la mafreya hu gaiva. It's a loy milson la mafreya that the karka belonged to the malva all along from the time that he lent him the money and he gave him the shtar. So when he gave him the shtar, he wrote kol nachas am shibatim lachayv zeh. Means I makna you the karka in the event that it comes out that I won't pay you by check or by cash, and you'll have to take away the karka. It'll come out. I just sold you the karka today. So Abai held like that. We don't accept Abai. It's not from the Al-Kagam. We don't accept Abai Shita. It's a kinyan lachalamid. I can sell you karka lachalamid. I can delay, I can postpone the chalois. But at kedei kach, that Abai was of the opinion that it's a kinyan lachatzoin, that's chal me'achshav, in the event that later on the malva forecloses on the karka. So again, this is how Rashi learns this brisa. Again, Harishayel Abatim Sosik Kramim, and it's questionable, is he a nani, is he not a nani? So Rabba comes up with this fantastic pshat. Abai thought it was out of this world. Gevaldige pshat. When you mazik somebody's property, or you mekadosh an isha, or hegdish is, the gizbush al hegdish is selling something of hegdish, that's ain the hegdish alim kama v'shait. It depends kama u'shav u'litma u'shav v'osam makam v'osazman. But if you're judging on the person, is he a nani, is he an ashir? So it's b'osam makam, he has karka. Doesn't matter how much such a similar karka would sell for in Wyoming, how much would it sell for in Canada, in British Columbia, how much would it sell for in Eretz Yisrael? B'osam makam, but b'osazman, that's not. Bosazman, Rabbi is of the opinion that it has at the same time, on the one hand it has the value of the Shavius of Nisan, on the other hand the Shavius of Tishrei, so it's like a Tarta Disasri, so we treat him like a Sofik Oni. So usually a Sofik Momen is Hamotz Mechavei Olavarai, the Mukhsa keeps it. So if he's a Sofik Oni, so it shouldn't give him anything. But over here we don't consider the Tzedakah is a Chalashem Badam, it's not a Jewish person. The Gzeres HaKosuv, that Hamoitza Machaber Olav Haraya, is only if it's a Jewish person. So here, because it's Tzedakah, and it's a Safek Ani, so you say sort of Yachloiku. So what's the Yachloiku? He could have theoretically, if he's really an Ani, could have taken the Luzuz Bavasachas. What are you going to give him? $500,000. Could have taken $2,000, and I'll say, you're going to give him $1,000. What are you going to give him? So the Gemara said, you give him up until Machza. When it up until Machza, whatever the karka is shove, the karka is worth 100 zuz, 110 zuz, 120 zuz, 150 zuz. You give him enough money that it should be, so he's going to sell a karka and that'll be worth 110 zuz. And we're going to give him 90 zuz from Tzedakah, from Maisa Oni, Lekin Shikhope, from the Pushka, and now he's an usher. So that's how we made the Yachloko over here. And Abai is going to relate it to Meitav. We'll get to that. Yeah. What's the other pshat that Rashi has? Lish Nachrina?
Yeah. That's
Up until 100. If the karka now in Tishrei is worth 150, you only give him 50. If the karka is worth 175 zuz, give him 25 zuz. You give him up until Machza, because it never goes down so low. Never goes down below Machza. And the karka was worth some 200 zuz or more. If the karka would have been worth 400 zuz, even a tisha is going to be worth 200 zuz. Even when it goes down, the low season, it's still going to be worth 200 zuz, so then he's an usher, he can't take a penny. But the karka is worth less than that. Karka is worth 300 zuz. In this, so when it comes to tisha, it's worth 150 zuz. It can go down up until machza. Go down all the way till up in, as low as Machza. So it's only worth 150, so then you give him $50 from the tzedakah. It's worth 175, so you give him 25 from the tzedakah. That's like Yachloku. That's like Yachloku. The second pshat in Rashi, Lishnachrina, Rashi writes, Machila Mosa Maserani Ad Machza Loya Onikoi. We're not talking about an individual who's a Safigani Safigosher. Is he allowed to take? Is not allowed to take? Talking about a rich person. A rich person. But there's another Mishnah in Peya. This Mishnah is Mamish, the last one of the last Mishnayas. The one that Rashi quotes. Mishesh Lama Saim Zuz, that's the very end of Peya. In the middle of Peya, something like Perikei, middle of Peya, there's another Mishnah. I'm not a poor man. I have Masaim Zuz. I had to buy my apartment. I have a lot of swarm at home. I had a lot of money in the savings account. I have more than Masayim Zuz in the bank. I'm a rich man. But let's say I walk somewhere on Shabbos, and then it comes Matzoi Shabbos, and I want to come back home. and on Shabbos I worked, I don't have any money in my pocket. I want to come back home. So I didn't do anything wrong. When I worked on Shabbos, I didn't take... If I went there for Shabbos, before Shabbos, I should have taken the long money. So if I didn't take long money, I was a pasheah. So maybe the din will not apply. We're going to have to learn the details. But I walked to the place on Shabbos. We used to walk to Rabbi Garelik Shul when we were Talmidim in Yeshiva. So the boys from Manhattan, from Washington Heights, from the Bronx, used to walk to Rabbi Garelik Shul. Rabbi Garelik was a fiery speaker. He was a very entertaining darshan, and there used to be a Talmid Chacham there who learned in Europe, a businessman, Karolinsky or something. He used to give a shiur in Tmura every Shabbos. He used to say, oh, always the brisker of Torah. So a lot of people would walk to the shul on Shabbos. There's no Erev, and you couldn't carry any money with you on Shabbos. And then after Shabbos would be over, so we had the theoretical ability to walk back home, because we walked there on Shabbos, but it was nighttime. The Rabbi Garelik would take out money from the Pushkin, give it to us, and he said, here's the money for the train, or for the bus to go home. And he used to quote the Mishnah and pay it. Mishnah and Perikei and pay it. That Balabayis ha'ovim imokim, Balabayis means in the Roshir. He's not an Oni. Balabayis ha'ovim imokim. He's not a Sofik Oni either. I'm a Vaday Oshir. I'm not a Sofik Oni. I'm a Vaday Oshir. Balabayis ha'ovim imokim lemokim. And he wasn't negligent. He just doesn't have any money. But take it, this happened to me. I was going with my wife to a wedding in Montreal in June, I think. So I always go with empty pockets because I live in the neighborhood. My wife had her pocketbook with all the money. So as it turned out, we came 59 minutes before the plane was going to depart, so they wouldn't take our luggage. So they said, we should both go on the plane, and then they'll send the luggage on the next plane. So my wife was afraid we're never going to see the luggage. So she stayed behind, and she said, I should go on the plane because I had to be at the wedding. I had to be in Masada Kedushin. So I should go on the plane, and she'll go on the next plane with all the luggage. So I said goodbye, and I went on the plane. Then I realized I don't have a penny in my pockets. When I got there, I realized I don't have a penny in my pocket. I don't know where the wedding is going to take place. So when I got off of the plane, I realized I have no money. So I saw a religious person. So I said, do you know where this and this hotel is? So he said, oh, you're going to the wedding? I said, yeah, we're all going to the same wedding. Fine. So he said, he's going to drive me to the hotel. First he was going to lend me money. So he lent me $60 Canadian. And then it turned out he's going to pass by that direction. So he drove me to the hotel. And then I paid him back all the money later on. 2 days later, I gave him back all the money. So that, I was poshe. Maybe I should have taken money. Maybe I should have taken some money. But let's say a person, balabai sofim imakum lamakum, he was not poshe, but he just needs money. He doesn't have any money in his pocket. So he's allowed to take money from the Pushkin. So there's a machlokes hatanaim and the Mishnah. And what about when he goes back to his own home? Does he have the right to borrow from the tzedakah Pushkin and he has to pay the money back? Or no? Oni hayabos oshur. So we paskin like the Chachamim. It's a machlokes in the Mishnah. So the first Tana, I think Reb Shimon, the first Tana says you're allowed to borrow money from the tzedakah. And we paskin like the Rabbanan that only b'toras midas chasidus you should give it back. But Mikra, then you're not mechuyev to give the money back because ani hoye be'os hashom. So that's what the riff in the second shot and Rashi is all based on that Mishnah. Where is that? That's in Perikei Mishnah Dalet in Peh Balabais. Shoha yo'ovim imakam makam tzoch lito lekted shikha peh maiserani yito gizonte heitek ukeshayach zole beso. Yishalem, Dibri Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says, you are allowed to borrow from tzedak, but you got to pay it back. You don't have to pay back the money, only b'toras midas chasidus. So that's what the Rif and the second pshat and Rashi and the Tesis, they're learning that's the pshat over here. We're not talking about a person we're questioning whether he's dina kani, dina ka asher, and it's a toss-up, is he like an oni, he can take elev zuz b'vasachas, or is he an osher, he can't take a penny, and we're saying yachloikim, that maman amuta b'safik cholkim, because no one is the mukhsak, it's in gas in a different pshat. The pshat, how does Rashi say, nishnachrinim, achilam osim maserani, lavani koi, it's not a person who's, it's a question if he's, kol adam, a normal person who is wealthy, but he needs money right now, And the only way for him to get money, so if you walk to Rabbi Gerelik Shul on Shabbos, you have no money in your pocket. So you're an ani bos shom. Here we're talking, I need money, so the only way for me to get money is to sell all the real estate that I have. I'd be happy to sell it. But they're not going to pay me the right amount for the real estate. So since they're not going to pay me the right amount, so even though I'm an usher, I'm an ani b'oso shoa. Like when I went to Canada and I didn't have a penny in my pocket, I have a din of ani b'oso shoa. Maybe not, because maybe I was poshea. Okay. Remember once before I went for a din Torah to Toronto. So also, they drove me to the airport and I didn't have a penny in my pocket. So going there was okay. Coming back, was everything was fine. But then when I got back to New York, how am I going to get from the airport back to the yeshiva? I didn't have a penny in my pocket. So also, as mazel had it, there was someone going to the yeshiva in the airport. So he drove me back home, drove me back to the yeshiva. Yeah, I live in the neighborhood, so that's why you often walk around without a penny in my pocket. Yeah, so that's where Rashi, that's the second shot that we're talking. Now he's pressed for money. He has karka that's worth millions. However, he doesn't want to sell it because it's such a low now. The market is so low, it's not fair. He has karka that's worth $20 billion, but they only want to give him $1 billion. So that's not fair. So he's a multi-billionaire. But he's allowed to take money from the tzedakah pushkin. Because the only way for him to get cash now is to sell the karka at such a significant loss. He's not mechuyev to take such a loss. Like the guy who's traveling that doesn't have any money. Oni hu be'oso sho. This fellow is also oni be'oso sho. Ve'nemo tzelimka filo b'chatzi d'meyem. Oh, so then the b'raisa says, if he owns property that's worth $20 billion and someone's going to buy for $10 billion or more for half the value of the property, that, and he needs money today, so tell him sell the property at a loss. But if he's not even going to get half the value that it's worth, so then that's not fair. So he's allowed to take money from this Dr. Pushkin, even though he's a multi-billionaire. Since the only way for him to get cash is if he sells the karka at such a loss, that'll get less than half of the correct value. So the Brisa says that that's not fair. So that's what the Gemara says. Well, what's the case? Ihu's alaris of the kuli alma v'didei namizol ba'adai. If everybody's real estate, how does Rashi read the Gemara? Let's see. Ve'nimotzelim ka'afilu b'chatz demachil ha'maserani achi yisrakul karko eso. It's not fair to expect him to sell a karka at such a loss. He's a multi-billionaire, trillionaire. But they want him to sell a karka now. He's going to get less than the full value. He'll get billions of dollars, but it's less than half the amount that it's really worth. So that's not fair. So then the Gemara says, what's the case? If everybody's real estate went down, if all of real estate went down suddenly, all of a sudden, even if he can get more than half the value, still this fulayat shiuchalim kabishaviyayim. You should be allowed to give him tzedakah until he'll be able to get the full value. Nebuch, the poor guy will only get $20 trillion. The karka is worth $50 trillion. So if he wants to sell it now, the whole real estate market went down. He'll only get $20 trillion, which is less than half. The Rashi says the poor guy has a right to take tzedakah. Until when? It's not his fault. And you can't expect him to sell a karka at such an unreasonable loss. Wow. And if what? And if everybody else's karka, what's the pshat? And if the again. If everybody's karka went down, you should even give him tzedakah, even if he can get more than half the value of the karka. It's not fair to expect him to sell at such a big loss. He's entitled to take tzedakah till he'll be able to sell it, because he needs money now. He should be allowed to. What does he need money for? What does he need money for? He wants to make another. He wants to buy half of Russia. He wants to buy half of Uganda. What does he need the money for? because he wants to make more billions, more trillions. The Rashi says, no, he needs for mezainis. It has to be within reason. He needs for mezainis. He's pressed for money. Otherwise, mistamen, that's kachi darka shalolam. Real estate goes up, real estate goes down. But it means it's not fair to him because he's hard-pressed for mezainis. So it's not fair to expect him to sell at a loss, even if the loss is going to be less than half the amount. And El of us, let's see the next line. Ella, the second line from the bottom. Ella, what's the case? Doikar Aris of the Kuliam, everybody else's karka is expensive. Only the day, only his karka. I did Dalman off of Gazuze Zol Ares. His karka went down because the people see that he's pressed for money. So now what's the kasha? Afilu, what is the Afilu Portanami lo leisfule, Rashi. Afilu Portanami, Afilu any ochel amerchan ela porto, even it can only sell it for one quarter its value, 10%. It's worth $20 trillion, but he can sell it for $2 trillion. So Rashi says, you shouldn't give him a penny. Rashi writes, because posheahu, what it means, he's a poshea. We don't have to have rachmanis on him. He's a multi-trillionaire. So if it's not his fault, if the real estate market went down, and you're asking of him, he should take such a major loss. He needs money from his zainus. He doesn't want to take a handout on his zainus. He has his own money. He wants to sell his karka. So if he'll have to sell the karka at a significant loss, even if it's less than 50% loss. So the Gemara said, that's not fair. You shouldn't expect him to do that. He should be allowed to take tzedakah until he'll be able to sell a karka at a reasonable price. But if it's his own fault that his karka went down, everybody else's karka is high. And only Vidi Day and his karka. I did that, Menafik Azizi Zolari, his karka went down. So it's his own fault that he's in such a predicament. So that's where Rashi introduces Pashea. Since the fellows of Pashehu, it's his fault. So we don't have to have Rachmanis on him. The man is a multi-trillionaire, multi-billionaire. We don't have to have Rachmanis on him.
Why is it his fault in this case? What's the fault is that?
He let everybody know that he's hard-pressed for money and he needs cash immediately to buy food. So everybody feels they have him, he's stuck. So they're going to bargain him down. So they're not going to give him the full amount. Everybody knows that he's hard-pressed for money. So since it's his fault, so then we don't have chamanis because the guy's a multimillionaire. See, Tosis introduces this. Tosis introduces Poshea earlier in the Gemara. Let's say you have like this. A fella comes from Meir Shorim. He made up his mind. He doesn't want to work for a living. He wants to sit and learn. I want to sit and learn also. He made up his mind. But I know, you want to sit and learn, you got to pay for food, so you have to get a job somewhere. Then when you have time, you say, he decided he's not going to get a job. So whenever he has to marry off a daughter, he comes to America and he schnorrs money. Whenever he has to change, has to buy an apartment, whatever, he comes, he schnorrs money. So my mechuyev to give the man tzedakah, he made himself an ani. He made a life's decision, he doesn't want to work for a living. So Tosis says, and he's penniless. He doesn't have trillions of dollars. He doesn't have anything to his name. He doesn't have any masayim to it. He has nothing. So Tosis says, you're not mechuyev to give the guy tzedakah. If it's his own darn fault that he's poor, that's his fault. You're mechuyev to give tzedakah to people. If it's a rachmanis on them, if it's not their fault. But if they made a decision, a life's decision, they don't want to work for a living. So Tosis learned that in the Gemara earlier. Rashi only introduces it in the second pshat in the Gemara, the Lishnachrina. That you're talking, the guy's a multi-billionaire over here. He's not an oni. He's an oni be'osho shoh, because it's not fair to expect them to suffer such a loss. So then you say, but if it's his own fault, if it's his own fault that he's going to suffer the loss, because all the real estate market is high, and only by him it's low, because he's an idiot. He let everybody know that he's badly in need of money, so of course they're going to bargain him down. So there Rashi says, you can't say anihu b'osho shoh, that you can't expect him to suffer such a loss. It's his own fault that he's suffering the loss, but he's a rich man. Rashi never said it by the ani. That's the question. Would Rashi agree or disagree with Tosis in that case? If a fellow Mamishanani, he doesn't have Masayim Zuz, but it's his own fault. He made a decision. He doesn't wanna work for a living. So am I mechuyev to help him? Can I tell him, go get a job?
In a case where someone chooses a lifestyle where he is poor and it's his fault, also says you don't have to pay him, you don't have to give him tzedakah. But what if he's collecting for his family? Because his family didn't choose to be, the kids didn't choose to be born to a kol guy. So would you, if you know that he's collecting and he's going to give, let's say, for his daughter's wedding, or so, would the chiyuv then kick in?
I don't know. It's a good question. See, the first line in Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos is the important Tosfos. If the ayakar avisa filu puta nami lo leso, don't give him a penny. Avagav sheni motzilit and alei masayim zuz. He's not going to get masayim zuz. He's an ani. Still lo yitol kol. Not allowed to take stock at all. If he should go, I'm the yatsma. Uposha. Don't have le lemeil and make because the Tosfos says that not only the guy's a multi-billionaire and he's going to have to suffer a loss. And even with the loss, he's going to have millions of dollars. So he's not mechuyev to suffer a loss, but if it's his own fault, then he is mechuyev to suffer the loss. Tosfos says it on the Masayim Zuz, the first line of Tosfos, on the Masayim, the basic Masayim Zuz, the question is, do we paskan like that? Do we paskan like that line in Tosfos? Do the other Rishonim disagree? I'm not sure. Should look it up in Shulchan Aruch. So these are two totally different pshatim in the price of what's going on over here. The first pshat is we're talking he's a safik ani safik oshir. The second pshat is not a safik ani safik ani hu bo so shor. He's not an ani. Is it unreasonable of us to expect him to sell real estate that's worth 20 billion for 1 billion? And therefore, he's only bo'os ha'shor till he'll get a reasonable price for it. So then, if he's a pasher, then Rashi says he's not entitled. If he's not a pasher, then he is entitled. Well, ani hu bo'os ha'shor. So Rashi likes the first pshat better. Rashi thinks the first pshat is more correct. Totally different pshat. The first pshat, same pshat, totally different. Rashi likes the first pshat. We're talking about a sofik ani sofik osher. We're not sure whether we consider the value that the karka has now in Tishrei, the value the karka has in Nisan, because we're not doing anything now. We're just judging on the person. Is he an osher? Is he an ani? So you have the both values, and it's a sveiket edina. So therefore, we say sort of yachloiku. You give him ad machza. But the second pshat in Rashi, that's the riff, and that's the tesis, a whole different pshat. We're talking about a different story. Ani hu ba'oso shor. That's the Mishnah in Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet, that we just read before. There's a different Mishnah, not the Mishnah from Perek Ches. If you have less than Masayim Zuz, you're called an Oni. Totally different deal. Okay. So that was the Vort that Rabbi said. Yeah. What time is it now? I can't see. 220.
220.
Oh, so we got to go down to Mincha. Okay, yeah. Can the kasha wait till tomorrow? Okay. Now we got to see what did Rabbi say? How did Rabbi take Rabbi's shtickel Torah and apply it to the Yiddish?
Rabbi, 2 summers ago I went.
He's supposed to come tomorrow.